I am working on getting more organized, so I have it, you know, it's all laid out and stuff. I won't use it though. It is organized. At least I'm trying to. I did not work on Friday, at least not tile installation work on Friday. We got done with the job. We're waiting for some stuff to show up. So I had all day to work on this, and I'm at home, and I'm working on it, and I'm getting nowhere, so I leave home and bring all my stuff to church and go into the church office. I didn't get a whole lot done there either. My mind is not able to focus at times on what I am trying to accomplish there, so it is scattered, and I quickly try to put it all together, and you're going to get what comes from here and not necessarily what's going to come from there. We do have a special guest with us today. Chuck Ellis is here. Now, I don't know if you want to say anything or not, if you're just here to worship with us. You don't have to say anything.
I'm here to worship with you.
Okay. You are here to say something. If you are, then you're welcome to come on up. I wasn't sure. I walked in and it kind of hi and took off real quick, so I haven't spoken to him.
Pastor Val, I want to encourage you. First of all, I felt the spirit of real love here when I came in. But I want you to know that pastor and spouse, when this thing takes place in your life all of a sudden, that no one can do what God wants done here but you. That's why he called you. So congregation, God is loving you and teaching you and instructing you through this couple and the other pastors who are on staff here. And God is loving you through them, but now that love is in you. It must be passed on to those that you live and work with and associate with. Otherwise, we don't accomplish God's work in the kingdom. So what you receive through this pastor, and only he can do what God has called him to do here. No one else can do what you do or say it the way you do it. But anyway, it stops right here. It stops right here. It doesn't move on to family, loved ones. And we're not accomplishing what as children of God we want to do. I want to commend you. I hear you talking about what you're doing, and I just want to thank you. But I'm here to just encourage you.
Thank you.
I'm here to worship you.
Thank you. Thank you. Why don't we just close with prayer and we can go home then? We sing a few more songs and we'll be there and we can go home. And God has been here. God has been here today and listening to all of you talking about how thankful you are and just seeing God work in the lives of Janine, who is Kurt's sister, and just hearing his reports on Tuesday nights, he comes back and says, the bone marrow, it's taking place, and she's 75% there. And just hearing God work and then hearing the rest of you talking about what God has been doing in your lives and Gertrude talked a little bit about backpacks. Some of you will remember that. We had a thing back there. They put together over 20 backpacks that they have now at Heartwork. Yeah, go ahead. That's good. Now, none of this is on here, okay? They put together over 20 backpacks that have toiletry items in it, gloves, socks, caps, things. So if some homeless person comes through on Tuesday or Thursday when we're open and stuff, when they're open, comes through and says, I really need somewhere to put my stuff or it's just really getting cold out there, they say, hang on, we got something for you. And they can give them a backpack. And the Glory Gang has kind of taken it on and got a bunch of backpacks. Some of them are awesome backpacks. I may show up one day and ask for one. Some of them even have their backpacks that you put on, and they have a handle, and you can roll them when they're really full. You can roll them along with you and stuff. And they got a deal on all those and all kinds of other things. So God is definitely working. And it's kind of been neat to sit here and to listen to people talk and see what's going on, because it kind of falls right in line with where I'm at, what I would like to share with you today. About a month ago, Lisa and I got the opportunity to go to Depot Bay, which many of you know it's out at the coast. We went out there to meet with the youth pastors on our kind of our annual retreat. At our annual retreat, we get together and talk about what God's been doing in our ministries, where we're at in ministry. We get together and talk about what are we going to do for our youth in the next year. So some of it is planning. Some of it is just encouragement. Some of it is just getting together and having fellowship with people who are in the same place in life that you are in youth ministry and working with youth and what they're dealing with. And it was great. It was a nice two-story house, and they had a big screen television, and we played games and talked and did worship and all kinds of things. Lisa got out there earlier. She didn't work that day, and she went out there with several of them in a van and went out there. And I'm driving out there. After I got off work, I went that way, and I get there. It's after dark. Impossible place to find, even with the GPS. By the time I'm driving there, my GPS says, "You have arrived." And I looked around, and I'm in black. There is nothing around. The houses, they don't have the signs on them. I finally found it. But I was on the phone talking with somebody. The phone rings as I'm going through this thing. And I'm on the phone, and reception's really bad. And I had to drive kind of all the way down and around and get right out by the water, almost on the cliff line where the road goes, where I could really get reception. I just stopped right there until I was done with my conversation. The one drawback to the house, and you were probably already there, is all of us youth pastors show up and we have our cell phones so we can keep in contact with people. Cell phones did not work very well. And so I got there and Lisa's saying, "I have my cell phone. It's sitting up right at the top of the stairs on the second floor because that's where she could get reception. So it's just sitting there, not on or anything, just sitting there because that's where she got the best reception." And everybody had different things that they would do to get reception. One guy said, "If I stand right in the middle of the house, that's where my phone gets the best reception." And some people were going outside, we're standing outside and doing all kinds of things to try to get reception with our cell phones. Some of them are trying to talk with their spouses who are at home. Some of them have things to do with people in the church and just trying to stay in communication. Well, we get out there Thursday night. On Friday morning, I have to make a call. It's important to make this call to contact the Ugandan Orphans Choir, which we're working on trying to get here at the church and having them come and do a concert here. I had to call the lady on Friday. So I get up in the morning, and I go running and do all my running and things, and I have to make this phone call. So I get my phone and go, okay, now what am I going to do? I'm on the second floor in kind of the master bedroom. There's windows all around. And I go right up to the thing. And I'm standing next to the glass. And I call. And I'm calling. And the phone rings a little bit. We can't hear each other or anything. It's no use. We lose the connection. I move to another spot. And so you're walking around with your phone, you know, going like this until you see the signal coming. Okay, this is a good spot. And I make the call. Okay, and we had tried to connect earlier, and she kind of knew who I was calling, and I was trying to talk with her. We're going back and forth and back and forth, and so the phone rings and rings, and we get the connection, and do you know what the first line that I say is? "Can you hear me now?" Go ahead, Colin. You got to plug it. No. Now I'm in the way. You need to plug the little jack in. Yeah. Well, most of you know the commercial. You can tell by looking at it. That's the good thing about using something as popular as that. We'll have a couple more videos later on. "Can you hear me now?" The Verizon guy. Okay, you've all seen him. You've probably all heard the line or spoken the line yourself. Well, that's what I want to talk about today is, can you hear me now? It is in the bulletin. I'm actually surprised it was there because yesterday Carol was telling me, "Don doesn't know what the sermon title is." And I said, I didn't tell him directly, but we've been talking about it and I mentioned it. So it is there. Can you hear me now? God wants to speak to us. God wants to have a conversation with us. Do you know that from the very beginning of time, God spoke? Now, follow me with this one real quickly. There was a time before time when there was God. God was before time. But when God decided to create time, he spoke it into existence. He believes in speaking. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He spoke all the animals into existence. He spoke man into existence. And things like that. He is a God that speaks. He is a God of communication. In the Bible, when you get into Genesis, it says God created man in his image. It actually says in our image. It means they're. We are created in the image of God, not only to be like God, but we also have this need to communicate. We are hardwired to have to communicate with people. We are hardwired with the need to communicate. Hang on a second. I got something really cool here. I usually don't keep my phone with me, but I have it right now. Let's see if it works. Let's see. I'm not real good with this, but wait and see. It says it's working. And then I'm getting rid of it. Okay. When some of us were growing up, okay, with this need to communicate, some of us growing up, we had telephones, and that was all there was. Use a telephone or nothing. I know when Lisa and I were dating, we had just got out of high school. She had gone through 1 year of business college, and she moved to the United States, and I was on Guam. We had one phone call, and the time difference and everything like that. I'd be talking to her all night long. I'd be out there at the church, because I don't have a phone of my own. I'd be at the church with a phone call. One phone call cost me $150. One call. And it was a lengthy call, but it was $150. It was not as cheap as it is today, but it was $150 for one call. This need to communicate and to talk with her. Also, a little bit later on in our life, after we'd gotten married, we decided we wanted to go into ministry. We're going to go into ministry. And the first place where we were doing official ministry was in Vallejo, California. And we just really knew that God was calling us there. We had some friends who had been on Guam who were there serving, and we were going to go there. A couple of problems. One is Lisa worked for Merrill Lynch, and they had an opening in California at that time. They needed her to go right away. I was in the middle of school trying to finish up some of my accounting classes. So we split up for a while. 2 months before I left, she went to the States, and she lived with our friends in Vallejo, California, and I lived on Guam while I finished my classes. I'm not sure why I was so worried about finishing classes, because I never got my degree in it, but I'm going to finish what I start. So again, now we're apart for 2 months. Phone call, back and forth, talking to each other, you know, about what's going on, what's happening. And then after 2 months in November, I moved to Vallejo, packed everything up, and off we went. And Lisa goes, 2 months is too long to be away from each other. We're never doing that again. So we have never been apart longer than that since and stuff. But we are wired. We are wired, hardwired. It's in the very nature of us to need to communicate with people, to need this somehow to communicate, to converse with people. Nowadays, we have all kinds of fancy gadgets. For a while on your computer, you could send messages back and forth, and it was instant messages. You know, AOL had those instant messaging, and you could do that. We had cell phones. The youth nowadays, how many of you have, maybe some of you adults too, how many of you have received a text message since I started speaking? Now, some of you have raised your hands. And you should, because what I did was I actually sent some of you a text message. That's what I do with my phone. The text message said, "Can you hear me now?" Now, one of you raised your hands, and I didn't send you that message. But see, we have this need to have to communicate, and we will find all kinds of ways to communicate with each other and to converse with each other. God has made us in his image, has made us that way. We just need to. There was an emperor in the 13th century, Emperor Frederick, in the 13th century, who did all kinds of experiments. He was trying to gain knowledge. And he wanted to know what language someone would speak naturally. Okay, so would they speak Arabic or Hebrew or Greek or Latin, or would they speak the tongue of their parents? So what he did is he took a bunch of babies that were born, had these babies that were born, and he kind of isolated them up. 100 of them, 100 babies, and had them isolated. And he had nursemaids that came and took care of them. And he told these nursemaids, "You're allowed to meet their every need. Whatever it is they need, you're allowed to meet that need with one stipulation. You are not allowed to communicate to them or talk to them at all. You can clothe them, you can feed them, you can wash them, you can do all kinds of things, but you cannot communicate with them. You cannot talk to them." Because he wanted to find out what language they would speak as they grew up. And he's trying to recreate, a little bit of it was in the Garden of Eden, when Adam was, what language did he speak? Or naturally, what language to speak? Because he knows we need to speak. What do you think happened? They died. 100 babies died. Every single one of them died. They had all their needs met except communication, and all 100 of them died. It's in us. We just have to communicate. I am somebody who is not a man of many words most of the time. You can ask Lisa. And I communicate real quick, and I'm off the phone, or I go into, I just am not one to dally around, I guess. And when I'm done here, I get to go home and veg out for a while and not have to say anything. But we need to communicate somehow. We need to get into that. God has created us that way. God speaks all the time. He spoke throughout the Old Testament. If you look back, all the way back to Genesis, God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he had this relationship with Adam and Eve after they'd been created in the garden. And there was a day that Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they went and hid. And God came looking for them, and God said, "Hey, Adam, where are you?" And Adam is hiding. And Adam says to him, "God, I was hiding from you because I was afraid, because I didn't have any clothes on." See, Adam knew that he had done something wrong, and he was hiding from God. It was that fear of God that started to ruin that communication that they had. And most of you will know the rest of the story. They were banished from the garden and had to live life on earth. But God wanted to speak. He had this perfect relationship with Adam and Eve and this perfect communication that was going on, and they ruined it. They ruined it because of this need to know more, the need for the knowledge of things. So the communication was strained. You can go through the Old Testament, and there's Abraham. God spoke to Abraham, and he left, and God says to him, "Hey, you're going to be the father of a great generation. People will not be able to count the number of your children." And that's in Genesis. It starts in 12 and goes through about 17 or 18. You know, it took a long time from the time God made the promise until his first son was actually born. Isaac was born. A long time for that to take place. Over 25 years. The whole time Abraham trusted and followed God and was in communication with God there. You can go on. Moses. Some of you will know the story of Moses. And yeah, I had to make sure I wasn't going into Noah real quick here. No, the story of Moses, and the people have been in captivity for 400 years. And Moses comes along and he rescues the people, and he does all these things with Pharaoh. And then they cross the Red Sea, and God takes them, and they cross the Red Sea, and all of Pharaoh's men get drowned in the water, and they're walking through the desert, and they get the Ten Commandments and all these other things. The story? Well, do you know that in the story, God is speaking to Moses. Moses is up on the mountain, and God is speaking to him, and the people are down there, and they see the lightning, and they hear the thunder, and they hear all that going on. And Moses comes down there, and he's saying, he's talking to him, "Well, this is what God says." And the people go, wait. We can't talk to God. Why don't you talk to God, and then you tell us what God says? The people were so, they were so out of touch with God, they had been so long not hearing anything from him, that they were afraid to talk to him. And they said, "We can't talk to him." I'm flipping now. Like I don't have it. It's the one I don't have with me right now. Nope, you have to take my word on it now. I can get it for you later when we get into that. Where they're in such fear of God and so out of communication with God, they said, "We need somebody else to talk to God for us and then tell us what God says." And so you go through the rest of the Old Testament for the most part, and God has to speak to his people through somebody else. Because we as people, they as people, were afraid of God because of the things that happened. Samuel, in the Bible, the story of Samuel, so many of you know that. His mom had dedicated him to the Lord. He was serving under Eli at the temple, and God spoke to him, and God says to him, "Hey, Samuel." And so Samuel quickly gets out of bed and runs over to Eli and says, "Yes, master, what do you want?" And Eli goes, "You're waking me up in the middle of the night. Go back to bed. I didn't call you." And this takes place three times. And then finally, Eli realizes this is God talking to him. He says, "Next time you hear your name called, say, 'Yes, Lord, what is it you want?'" And so God starts communicating with Samuel at the time. Elijah, some of you know the story of Elijah. He was a prophet of God, and God had told him, "I need you to do this." and he's doing some things, and there's this lady who is trying to kill all the prophets, and she kills everyone but Elijah, and he's running, and God says, hey, what are you doing? And he says, this lady's killing everybody, and I'm next. And so God says, okay, get something to eat. And so Elijah gets something to eat, and then God says, nope, that's not enough. You better get more to eat. So he gets more to eat, and then God says, okay, I need you to go to that mountain and wait. Do you know that the mountain is a 40-day journey? So he traveled, he ate and he ate so that he could travel for 40 days, and he's on this mountain. And then God says to him, wait here. I'm going to come and visit you, and I'm going to talk to you. So God says, I will talk with you. You know what happens? Anybody? What happens in the story? He's waiting at this mountain. He's kind of hiding in a cave. God provides food for him. In this mountain, he's waiting for the voice of God. He knows God's going to come in and speak to him. There's a great big wind, and the wind comes and blows everything away. There's an earthquake, and everything crumbles, and God's not in any of that. Okay? There's a fire that comes along, and God is not in any of that. Do you know what comes along next? A still voice. In 1 Kings 19, verses 10 through 18, that's kind of the story there. And let me see if I can... It says, I'm going to start at verse 12. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And it goes on and on and on. So all these great and mighty things took place. God was not in any of those. He was in the still, in the calm, in the whisper. That's where God was found. God wants to talk to us. He did it all through the Old Testament. Some of you might be saying, but God, I can't hear your voice. God, you're not talking to me. There's a movie that came out several years ago, actually 2003. We're going to see a clip of it. Some of you will recognize it, some of you will not. It's about a guy who just really, really wants to hear from God. God, you just have to speak to me. And God is speaking to him, but he's not really paying attention. Go ahead, Colin.
To talk to you. Tell me what's going on. What should I do? Give me a signal. I need your guidance, Lord. Please send me a sign. What's this Joker doing now? Okay. All right. I'll try your way. All right, Lord, I need a miracle. I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please, reach into my life. What the hell? Hurry up. I got you. Oh.
Hello, 5-5-5-0-1-2-3.
Denied that promotion at work? Is life unfair? Is there someone less talented than you reaping all the benefits? Is your name Bruce? Then do we have the job for you? We're located at 77256 23rd Street. So come on down, or we'll just keep beeping you.
Okay, some of you will remember the movie. Maybe you've seen it. If not, you're welcome to borrow it. I have a copy of it. He made a fool of himself on national television. He got fired. He got into a great big fight with his girlfriend. And that's where it kind of picks up with him driving. And he's saying, God, talk to me. God, give me a sign. How many of us in our lives are going through life saying, God, you're not talking to me. God, you're not answering me. And yet he's given us the answers, but we don't pick up on it. We don't hear it. I'm going to change and go through this stuff. Time is slowly getting away from us, or quickly getting away from us. For me, it started back in May, and just trying to figure out, many of you know that Pastor Jeff had announced his resignation and had left, and Lisa and I were getting ready to go to the Philippines, and I called together two different meetings with some of the men in the church and said, would you please be praying for me? I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks and be praying for me that God will kind of tell me what it is he wants, where it is he's leading, not only me, but leading our church. And they agreed to do this. So Lisa and I are gone for 3 weeks. And I spent the time in the Philippines with her parents doing things and just really saying, God, what do you want? And where are you taking me and stuff? And kind of questioning and going back and forth. We get back and things progress, things go on. And kind of the culmination of it, I'm going to take everything and cram it together really quick, was in September. September, we went down to California for a softball tournament. And we go down there. We've been doing that every year for about 4 or 5 years now. And they have a guest speaker. So you get all these softball players in there, and they stand up on stage and sing Amazing Grace, all these men, and all the women are down there crying and stuff. It's a great time. Who think you'd ever get so many men up there? But they had this guest speaker this year. His name was Tom Akery. Some of you might know him, some of you might not. I knew him in the past, which sounds strange to say it that way, but we had been acquainted. And I knew who he was. He knew who I was, but we weren't really friends or anything like that. And God had laid it upon his heart to speak about Gideon, to present to us the story of Gideon. Some of you were there, and you may remember that. And that was just kind of God's stamp on it all. And he told the story of Gideon, how God had called Gideon. It is in Judges chapter 6, verses starting at 11 through 17. Let's turn there. Time's going to get away, but we're going to do it anyway. Judges chapter 6. Starting at verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with me, why has all this happened to us? Why are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign. This, that it is really you talking to me." And he shared those words, and he was telling the story. And here you have Gideon, a mighty warrior. Doesn't he look like a mighty warrior? He's hiding. There's a wine press, which is basically a concrete wall, and he's down in there and he's hiding, and he's pounding his wheat and hiding because he wants to make sure that nobody else sees him. He's in such fear that he's hiding. And this angel comes, and the Lord speaks to him and says, "You are called to go do this. I am calling you to go be a mighty warrior, do this." And Gideon's still not 100% sure, so he does what God tells him, and he gets a victory. And then he goes on, and in Judges, flip a little bit far. Stay on the same chapter, flip a little bit farther. I'm speed reading through right now. Judges chapter 6, verse 36 through 40. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. And it's almost like Tom Akery was standing up there and he was looking right at me and saying, "This is what God wants for you. This is what God says." And I was sitting there going, that God... And I make all kinds of excuses, and I'll still make them now and stuff, that God was saying to me, "I have placed you at Richmond Community Church for a purpose, and it's up to you to answer my call, to fulfill that purpose." And I go, "But God, I can't even talk very well. I don't even like standing in front of people. I'm nervous all the time. I'm still calling you to do it. But God, I really like youth, and that's what I want to do, and I move all the time." And God says, "That's what I want you to do." Finally, I just broke down and said, "Okay, that's what we're doing. That's what I'm going to do. I am here. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm doing it, but I'm going to do it." And that's it. Listening to God's voice and hearing him. And I did all kinds of things when I was in the Philippines trying to find ways where, it sounds weird to say, but I'm going to do it. Find ways to get out of it, kind of find ways, well, we can get somebody else and maybe there's some, but God says, "Nope, you're the one I want to do it." God is speaking. God speaks all the time, and many times we don't hear his voice because we're trying to listen for another answer. We're trying to listen to something else. If you have your Bibles, one more time, we'll turn. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We know that God spoke through the Old Testament, and he spoke through all the prophets, and the prophets spoke to people. At the end of the Old Testament, kind of between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's 400 years that God was silent. God did not speak. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. Okay, next week we kind of start Advent, and the first week of Advent is on hope, and we'll talk about a little bit more there. But listen to this, what's written in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of this being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became so much superior to the angels, and the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." God wanted a direct relationship with us. He said, "I'm kind of tired of going through these prophets to talk to you." So he sent Jesus Christ so that we could have this direct communication, this direct line with God and communicate with him. That's what Jesus Christ came for. It's amazing if we'll take the time. I'm going to skip most of this stuff. It's amazing if we'll take the time to listen to God and what he has for us. He's speaking all around us. He speaks in so many different ways. Thursday night Bible study, we sat down and we were reading some of Max Lucado, Every Day Deserves a Chance, and we got into the story. We were there until almost 9:30 talking about what is God doing? What is God calling us to do and stuff? And hearing God's voice. We've been sitting down as elders, and we spent 3 hours in a meeting yesterday. What is it God's calling us to do? How do we know what God wants for us to do? We sat down in Sunday school today, and we talked about what is it God wants us to do, and hearing God's voice and going all over the place. How do we know what it is that God wants us to do? How do we hear God speak to us? That's what we all want to know. There are a lot of different ways God speaks to us. Three of them real quickly. The most common one, the most common way that God speaks to you, you all have them right here, your Bible. He tells us exactly what he wants us to do in the Bible and stuff. A rich young ruler came up to Jesus and said, hey, I've done all this stuff. What do I need to do? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what God wants us to do. You know, it goes on, and Jesus told all these parables. Do you know there's a line in the Bible which is kind of the biblical equivalent to, can you hear me now? And that line is, he who has an ear, let him hear. Do you know it is said in the Bible 15 times? Jesus spoke 14 of them. The other one is found in Revelation, and John is referring to Jesus speaking about that. Seven of them are in the first few chapters of Revelation when Jesus is addressing the churches. Every time he addresses a church, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. All the other times are in the Gospels when he's telling a parable or telling a story. Jesus has come to earth, and he's saying to the people, can you hear me now? He's saying to us, can you hear me now? So what are we supposed to do? Read the Bible. See what God's direction is in the Bible. God also speaks through gifted teachers. There have been people throughout history that have come in. When they speak, it's like God is just coming right out of their mouth and just saying something to you, just speaking to you. I've had people in my life, maybe you have been a Sunday school teacher or have taught VBS. Maybe you have led worship somewhere. Maybe you have done any number of things. God can use any of us. It's not some great big famous person like Martin Luther or John Calvin. Nobody like Billy Graham or Luis Palau. Sure, God uses them to reach multitudes of people. But God can use any one of us if we're willing to let him. And you know, in Sunday school, I'm jump back to that. It's fun to talk to a lot of the ones I have now. They have grown up in church here. And you know, they know the books of the Bible better than I do. And you know why they know that? A song. So any of you want to do it for me? Anybody? They're all, no. They've had a Sunday school teacher as they've all been growing up, all the way to some who have graduated from youth group and are now in college in California or in Texas working with Team Mania. They all know every single one of the books in the Bible in order because they have a Sunday school teacher who is willing to teach them a song that takes them from Genesis to Revelation, and I can't even do it. I can find them, but I cannot say them in order. They can all do it. Because there's one teacher who is willing to be gifted and to do what God has called that person to do. Maybe God has been speaking to you, telling you to do, you know, that he had something for you to do. Another way he speaks to us is through inspiration. And I believe wholeheartedly in that. When Tom Makary got up there to speak, I think God had laid a message on his heart. I don't know how many other people he was speaking to, but I know that God has inspired him and given him a message at that time to speak to me. We had a concert here a few months back after the Chase came, and we had just gotten through with a camp meeting, family camp, and some of the youth at the camp meeting, I was able to talk to them, and they said, you know, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. The guy stood up here, and the band played their songs and stuff, and he took a time to share. And when he shared, he was speaking right at him. And I went up to him and said, why did you share about that? And he said, I don't know. I just really felt led to talk about that. I can't even tell you exactly what all it was, but at the time I thought, that is right where the youth are at. He's speaking right to them. And the words he's saying and the things he's talking about, that's right there. Inspiration. God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through gifted teachers or people who are willing to listen. And God speaks through inspiration. That's three of the more common ways that God speaks to us. We can go on and on and on and talk about that. What is God saying to you? I really can't tell you. Unless God's been speaking to you right now. There is something to avoid. Colin, I'm going to jump a little bit. Do the store guys video. It's another Verizon commercial. If we started with one, we might as well throw another one in there.
I reckon you ain't from these parts.
No, we're just heading down the road. There's a bed and breakfast.
There's also a dead zone just around the bend. Signal goes in and out. Calls have a way of disappearing.
Yeah, we have the Verizon network.
You're good!
Okay.
We test our network every day to be America's most reliable. Verizon Wireless. It's the network.
Dead zones. Watch out for dead zones. I was watching television this morning when I got up, and there's another one out there. Somebody had mentioned it, I think, in Bible study. AT&T has one, where somebody does not have all the bars, and they fail to get the message they're supposed to get, and so something happens. The one this morning, the lady's having a birthday party for her kid, and she's got some clown dinosaur thing that's supposed to come in, and she doesn't have enough bars, so she never gets the signal, and all the kids are playing around, and in comes this T-Rex. You know, and all the kids are screaming and crying. She doesn't get the message. Sometimes we get so caught up in things, we end up in places where, and it's not 100% correct, where God cannot speak to us. Now, God is always speaking to us, and he's always trying to get hold of us. But sometimes we have things that are keeping us from listening to his voice, listening to what he has to say to us. We need to be careful of those. We need to be on watch for those. And if you're going, make sure you have your network behind you. Make sure your communication, the easiest way for you to speak with God is through prayer. And prayer takes on many forms. It's a word, it's a voice. There's contemplative prayer. There's all different kinds of prayer. But that's how we speak to God. And making sure that the lines always stay open. And then that allows God to speak with us. I have one more. Last week I went to a conference. It was Lead Now. And we're kind of in this thing of where are we going and what are we doing? And it's doing something. But they showed this video, and I've looked all over the internet, and I finally found it and stuff. And I thought, this is a neat concept. This could be it. As a church, this is where we could be headed. Colin, it's there's the Bluefish, maybe. Yeah, do that one. This will be the last one, and then we'll close up.
You know, as a generation, we are constantly being called to take action, to make a difference in the world. Why so what's the hurry? You know, work that can be done today will be there tomorrow. Because let me tell you, there are only three things guaranteed in this life: death, taxes, and tomorrow.
We're always told that we should think outside the box. And what I love about the Maybe Later campaign and Defusion conferences is it teaches us to take our faith and put it in a box and tape it up.
What do I like about the Maybe Later campaign? Well, I think I love the complete and utter lack of urgency in it.
Get a nice padlock on it, throw away the key, you know, mail the key to Guam maybe.
Maybe Later is focused on changing the world. Not today, not tomorrow, but possibly the day after that.
But let's say, you know, if you lost your key and you can't get to Guam or you can't find the box, it doesn't matter because ultimately God is a God of forgiveness.
When I dropped out of college, I was really asking God, God, what can I do with my passions and skills to do nothing? And not doing nothing for nothingness' sake, necessarily, but to do nothing that inspires and impassionates people to do the same thing. And that is just bring out their inner nothingness and doing nothing.
You know, our real concern here at Maybe Later is to help 20 and 30-somethings to procrastinate. And, you know, with all the worries and concerns that we face in our world today, we want to help you put those off and forget about them. And you know, that's not forget about them with an F, that's with the PH. Because we all know what starts with an F: failure and philosophy. And our philosophy here at Maybe Later is to never fail.
The thing that most excites me about Maybe Later is this idea that right now, you know, where it really counts, I can do nothing. You know, I got so excited about the idea, I almost told some friends about Maybe Later, but then I realized that would be doing something. And so I thought, no, I'm not going to do that.
The best thing that we found to help 20 and 30-somethings are excuses. That's why we have a dedicated, well, semi-dedicated staff here at Maybe Later to help you come up with the necessary excuses to say, not now, but maybe later. Some of the best excuses that we have oh, I'm one person, what difference can I make? My money will never make it to those kids. Does $1 a month really feed an entire village? Don't worry, let Oprah do it. That's a really popular one right now. Why adopt a child and ruin its chances of being adopted by a celebrity? And the classic, don't give that homeless person money. He'll probably just buy alcohol with it.
I'm Martin Matlock.
I'm Donald Miller.
Hi, I'm Matt Chandler.
And I am absolutely committed to being non-committal.
And I'm committed to being non-committal.
I'm committed to being non-committal.
Okay, by your last, most of you know, I'm not real serious about that, and yet I am. What are we going to do? How do we know what God is calling us to do? We could join the Maybe Later campaign, and we could just kind of sit back and not do anything. Otherwise, we can do something. I don't know what it is, but it's just do something. I was here, I think it was Wednesday. I got here a little bit early after work, and I was walking up the ramp to come inside the church, and there was a dollar laying on the ground. So I picked the dollar up and unlocked the door, and this lady comes around and says, hey, you know, can you help me and stuff? I kind of turned, yeah, and what? And she, well, are they here? You know, the place that has food? I said, no, they're not here right now. And she says, well, I'm just hungry. And I said, well, they'll be here tomorrow between 11 and 1. That's when they're opening stuff. And she said, do you have a dollar? I said, sure, I got a dollar. I had no other money on me at all. I didn't have my wallet or anything. I had no money on me at all. She said, do you have a dollar? I said, sure, I have a dollar. And I walked over and I gave her the dollar. That's all I had. And stuff like that. I could have done all kinds of things. It's just amazing how God will provide things, and maybe not even for me. The dollar wasn't for me. The dollar was for her. I just happened to pick it up. I got there before she did, apparently. So what is God calling you to do? I don't know. What is God calling me to do? The honest truth, I really don't know a whole lot of what God is calling me to do. I do know He's placed me here, and He says, I need you to do something. And I was out running today like I always do before I get up here so I can relax and not move a whole lot. And this illustration kind of came to mind. If you have a boat, and the boat is sitting in the water, engine's not running, not moving anywhere, it's sitting in the water, that boat is going to go wherever the wind pushes it or wherever the tide pushes it. But if that boat is moving, at least moving somewhere, then you can steer the boat. And you can either trim the sails if you want, or you can adjust the rudder, and you can move the boat where you want to go. As long as I am moving forward, if God says I need to do something, as long as I am moving forward, then I can adjust my course if I need to, but if I'm just idle in the water, then I'm going to get pushed and blown wherever things are taking me. One more story, we'll be done. I have all kinds of them. This is I didn't use any. You know, I had all kinds of PowerPoint stuff. We didn't turn it on, did we? Colin's going, no, we're okay. One story, real quick. A man was having trouble, he was having difficulty with his wife, and he just knew for sure that she was hard of hearing. She was having trouble hearing what was going on. And so one night he was going to conduct a test. And his test was, he went to the far side of the room, and he quietly, in a voice with her sitting on the other side, he says, can you hear me now? And then he walks closer, and he says, can you hear me now? And she doesn't respond. And so he walks a little bit closer. And he says, can you hear me now? And she doesn't respond. So finally, he gets up over to her and says, can you hear me now? And she says, yes, for the fourth time, I can hear you. We keep asking God, hey, God, what do you want us to do? God, where are you taking me? I get youth all the time to say, what is it that God wants for me to do? You know, just about anything you can do, if it's for God, if it brings God the glory, that's what He wants. That's exactly what it is. Is it working, you know, at this church, or is it working at that church? Is it helping with the youth group here? Is it helping with skate church or something like that? If you're bringing glory to God, that's what He wants. And if, as long as you start moving forward and start going somewhere, then God can use you. And you're doing what God wants for you to do. That's what it's about. That's what it was with me. It took Tom Makary standing up there and talking about Gideon and Gideon hiding in a wine press and putting fleeces out before God. That's what it's about. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're struggling with God talking to you or not hearing God's voice. I don't know if you're clearly saying, this is what God wants for me to do. And you know exactly where you're headed and what God wants. I don't know where you're at in life. But take some of the things that we've done here and do this. get in the Word. And what is God telling you to do there? You know, talk to people. Maybe as people share with you and stuff, then you'll start getting a better direction of where God wants you to do something. Don't be part of the maybe later campaign and just start putting things off. Do something. And in doing something, God can use the something that you are doing. God can use the something that you are doing to reach somebody else or to make a difference.